welcome to the Poem of the Week. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Michael.
I don't know if you're chewing there or what I'm hearing, but we've got some news for you and your gum eating. A couple of measures are effective for minimizing post-operative gastrointestinal dysmotility following all kinds of gut surgery. There are people that use mid-thoracic epidural catheters to control pain, and there's some suggestion that chewing sugarless gum following elective intestinal resection has been associated with a reduction in time to flatus, decreased bowel movement, and reduction in the length of hospital stay. Also, some stuff that's shown that people, I guess women, undergoing cesarean sections have found that chewing gum led to a shorter time to return of audible bowel sounds and, again, the passage of flatus. There's an article, I don't know how you found this, it was in the British Journal of Surgery, a randomized controlled trial nonetheless, published in 2015, volume 102, starts on page 202, that really takes a close look at this issue of chewing gum and ileus. In this particular case, they looked at it following colorectal surgery. Mark, what did they find?
Well, I love the fact that surgeons have finally discovered the idea of randomization. We're seeing more trials. Good for them. I love seeing this stuff. And and by the way, no, I'm not chewing gum, and this is probably in the realm of too much information, but I've been wearing Invisalign braces, those little plastic clear braces, so chewing gum would be a disaster. Wow. None of that. Maybe a little chewing tobacco. That might work down here. They took adults undergoing elective open colorectal surgery, so high risk for ileus in that group. They excluded anyone that had inflammatory bowel disease, previous surgery on the GI tract, who already had a stoma, neuromuscular disorders, or mint allergy, which tells you what the flavor of the gum was, I guess. And anyone taking gut motility drugs was excluded too. So they had a total of 120 patients, and they randomized them to either get apparently a mint chewing gum or a placebo skin patch. And they lied to the patient, said, oh, this patch really works for ileus, or to prevent ileus. And so they put the patch on half, and they gave the other half chewing gum. And the staff in the hospital recorded the time to first fart, or flatus, I'm sorry, and the time to first defecation. Eight patients discontinued, about similar numbers in each group. And this is great. The results were pretty dramatic. The average length of stay in patients using the chewing gum was 9.5 days compared with 14 in the placebo group, so 4 days less.
Oh.
Now, this is not done in the U.S. This was, I think, a Dutch study where I think they tend to have longer inpatient stays than we do here. You have to basically have a brain transplant to stay for 14 days in a U.S. hospital nowadays. But, 9.5 versus 14 days. Ileus occurred in 27% chewing gum, 48% placebo patch, so number needed to treat of 5. The 85% defecated within the first 4 days if they had gum, only 57% who got the placebo, number needed to treat is about 3 or 4.
Wow.
So pretty good. Half the patients still required a colostomy in each group, but there was no difference in the rate of ileus or defecation among those who ended up requiring colostomy. So there's some folks it's clearly not going to help. I think you could criticize the study a little bit because the patients were blinded to the intervention, or at least they were told they were both getting, you know, useful interventions. The researchers and staff were not, so perhaps there could have been some bias there, but it's a pretty dramatic effect, and I think it's also important to say it's consistent with two other studies that we've covered in the past, one a few years ago, one about 8 or 9 years ago, and both found similar benefits of chewing gum. So I'm going to add, I don't know if they're doing this at our hospital here in town, and I'm going to ask. One of my friends is a surgical tech, another one's a surgeon. I got to ask them if they're recommending this. If not, they should be.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you have to be careful with all the usual provisos in terms of aspiration and things like that. But,
right.
I mean, you know, when you're measuring things in terms of days, not minutes or hours, but, days, that's pretty remarkable in terms of hospital discharge and things. I don't know why they chose mint, and I guess they chose sugarless because of the dental community and things, but presumably any sort of gum would work. That's remarkable.
Yeah, you'd think so. And I think there is, you know, length of stay in the U.S. is shorter, and so there may be kind of a ceiling effect of the it's a ceiling or a basement effect in this case. But, you know, if we've already compressed the stay as much as we can, you know, we may not see as much of a benefit with the chewing gum. But, you know, certainly time to first defecation, you generally, I think, still want them defecating when they go home. And so that's
you mean, but before they go home.
Yes, that's what I thought I said.
Right. Yeah. No, but that's right, so that's impressive. I mean, if you're going to keep them until they have their first defecation, and mm-hmm. if something as simple as giving them some mint chewing gum,
sure.
I mean, you know, talk about all the other stuff that we're doing and the cost of, you know, boy, just get them a pack of chewing gum. Excellent article. Yes, well, close to a piece of cake.
Chewing gum. Yeah.
Right. We'll do the next study. We'll be looking at the impact of cake on bowel movements or something. Okay, we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Mike.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.